You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 19th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Unfortunately, we don't have Max Musson with us today, so you've just got myself here to talk about what's been going on in Britain. And what we're going to be talking about today is the final verdict of the recent National Action Trial in Birmingham, and then we're also going to have a look at the rising crime rate there and the vigilante groups that are forming in response to it. Now, obviously, if you're regular listeners to Aryan Britannia, you know that we've covered a fair bit of this trial that went on, this most recent trial of people accused of being members of National Action. And now that the final verdicts have come about, and unfortunately, all three of them have been found guilty of being members. Now that the verdicts are out, there is a lot more background information that's been released. The information that actually connects all three of this year's major trials together. There was a trial for people putting stickers up when National Action were still legal. There was a trial that was alleging that Jack Renshaw was plotting to murder an MP, in which he pleaded guilty. Now, he's actually withdrawn his guilty plea now. And then there was this most recent trial with the lurid photographs of people dressed up as Klan members and waving knives around and having swastika pastry cutters and all sorts of totally irrelevant information that has nothing whatsoever to do with National Action, was just all about smearing the people accused of being members of it. So that's the three main trials. And also linked to this most recent one, there was also some young people that were also arrested that are going to be tried in January. And at each one of these trials, they're setting new precedents of what can be entered as evidence for somebody being a member of National Action. And if you just take a look at this most recent one, where they were bringing up the fact that they dressed up as the Ku Klux Klan, I mean, now that they've been found guilty of being members of NA, if they find somebody else that has pictures of themselves dressed up as the Ku Klux Klan, they could say, well, that's a link. That's a link to being members of National Action, because these members of National Action were doing that. And this is the sort of logic that these courts are using in order to convict these people. Now, what I've got, I found a very detailed report on this most recent trial, which is actually compiled by the BBC. Of course, it's got a lot of false information in there, and we'll discuss that as we get into it. And what I've done, I've pulled out some of the most pertinent points about each three of the trials that have gone on this year. And they begin by saying that the BBC can now tell the story of National Action and the threat posed by its members. And it doesn't actually come out with any threat posed by its members at all. Well, after the group was banned, there's not even any allegations of any activism taking place. All they've got is people meeting up at a gym in the last court case, people putting stickers up in the court case before that, and that was while National Action was actually legal, these stickers were put up. And in this one, you've got people that liked to dress up and liked to make racist posts in a private chat group. And I don't see how making racist posts in a private chat group poses any kind of threat to the British public. But they are alleging in this article that somehow there was this great threat against the British public. There were also members of the army that were involved in these chat groups. But even then, how are they any threat to anybody? I mean, the British army is multicultural. These people were interacting with non-whites every day. The lad that was dressed up as the Ku Klux Klan, he said, well, I worked as a security guard for Amazon. I was interacting with non-whites every day. It certainly wasn't, there weren't any threat posed by me. If there was any trouble, I would have been sacked. And of course, there wasn't any trouble. These people aren't any threat to society. It's just a show trial that's been used to create a far-right threat. And the fear of a far-right threat in the general public. So let's have a look at how this all began. And this has now finally been revealed. For several months, detectives from West Midlands Police had been investigating an incident in July 2016, during which several men had pasted National Action stickers at the Aston University campus in Birmingham. So in the summer of 2016, there were stickers put up in this university. Now, in December of 2016, National Action were banned as a terrorist organisation. But this act of putting the stickers up, that took place back when the organisation was legal. Yet the court case for putting these stickers up has resulted in people getting sentences of 6 and 8 years just for putting stickers up. And the reason for that is because National Action is now banned as a terrorist organisation. And yet, for some reason, they were able to sort of backdate this terrorist legislation and use it to really throw the book at the people that were found guilty. Now, in the spring of 2017, so almost a year later after these stickers being put up, some of the suspects were arrested, including Alex Deakin, and we've heard his name quite a few times because and this is the reason why his name has been mentioned at every trial. Incriminating chat groups were found on his phone, and that of another man who cannot be named for legal reasons. After being released under investigation, Deakin sent a panicked email to several, and it says here, National Action contacts, but what they were is former members of National Action. He sent a panicked email to former members of National Action saying, my seized phone is full of texts that will mark me as an organiser. He wrote, I understand if you despise me for this sloppiness. It really couldn't have been worse if I tried. Well, Deakin's sloppiness led to 3 trials at Birmingham Crown Court this year, many details of which can only be reported now that the final one has concluded. Now, when he's saying there as an organiser, he probably means as an organiser back when National Action was legal, because he may well have been an organiser in National Action. It doesn't necessarily mean that the organisation is still going. The first trial, which ended in April, saw Deakin himself, Vevelainen, and soldier Mark Barrett stand trial accused of National Action membership. Now, don't forget, National Action was banned in December, and the 2 founders of National Action, Alex Davies and Ben Raymond, both very, very publicly put a stop to the organisation. They took the website down, and a statement was made that they would be seeking to have this ban overturned through legal means. They said that the organisation would be shut down, but they would seek legal advice and try to appeal this, because none of them had ever been accused of any violence up until this point. And the actual banning was simply because, according to Amber Rudd, they were homophobic, racist, neo-Nazis, anti-Semites. So it's basically just because of their ideas, they were banned, not for any actual violent behaviour. But ever since then, they've tried to make out that there was a violent threat from them. Barrett was acquitted, but his co-defendants were convicted, and they received 8-year prison sentences. 8-year prison sentences. Now, one of the reasons why there hasn't been others that have been prosecuted with this is because I think most people that were members of National Action took this very seriously. When the organisation was banned and it was designated a terrorist organisation, they realised that the police would be looking to make arrests, and they would be looking for anything that could make it easy for them to do that. So I think most people that were members of it said, right, well, I'm going to have to stop talking to you guys now, and I'm going to have to go off and do my own thing. And obviously, people like Garen Helm, that was found innocent of being a member, that was his attitude. A lot of people hadn't even had anything to do with National Action for 6 months before the actual ban. I mean, Paul Hickman, who ended up committing suicide over the repression, the police repression, he'd had nothing to do with National Action for a year. And yet he was being accused of being a member at the time. So a lot of people weren't even having anything to do with them by that time, because people did think that it was, you know, it was in bad taste making that joke about Joe Cox being killed. But it was just a joke, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But the reason for that is why the rest of the country, there hasn't been all these arrests, is because it looks like these people in the Midlands didn't take it as seriously as others did. They didn't take it as seriously as people like Ben and Alex did. I mean, Ben and Alex wouldn't even be seen together after this happened. I spoke to them and I said, well, you know, what have the police said anything about what could be conceived as being a National Action meeting, even if you didn't have the name? And they said, well, we're not sure, whether it could just be two ex-members being seen together. That maybe that could be construed as a meeting of National Action, or maybe it would be three, or maybe it would be four. So it's best just not to have any meetings with anybody that might have been, you know, that they were members with in National Action. So I know that they took this very seriously. And obviously, 99% of the ex-members of National Action have done the same. But it does look like in the Midlands that these people just didn't take it seriously enough. Because they were still communicating with people in chat rooms. I dare say none of them thought that they were still in National Action. None of these people that have been arrested thought they were still in National Action. But it's been construed that they were still in National Action because they were still nationalists, basically. Because they were still talking about nationalist subjects. There wasn't any planning for any activism. I guess they probably thought, well, if we're not actually doing any activism, how can it be alleged that we're members of National Action? And these soldiers that have been arrested, in particular, the arrest of Mikko Vevelainen was horrific. I mean, his father-in-law died of a heart attack, of shock, of the police bursting their way in to his house, and the BBC have reported it that that's on his conscience. It's not on Mikko Vevelainen's conscience. It should be on the conscience of the police. And the only evidence, well, they haven't got any evidence that Mikko was a member of National Action. They just said, well, he's got lots of weapons at his house. Well, the guy was in the army and he served with distinction. The army report said that he was a fantastic soldier, basically. And they couldn't have asked for a better soldier. And yet that didn't stand him in any good stead whatsoever. And they still gave him 8 years. It says the three had been arrested in September of 2017, along with the other two soldiers in the chat group, both of whom were released without charge. Only Barrett elected to give evidence, telling the court that he had not joined National Action, despite being in the Telegram chat group, and that he regretted his racist postings. So maybe this Telegram chat group had actually been going on before National Action were banned, and it wasn't actually anything to do with National Action. And you just don't know. I mean, what we've got here is we've got Alex Deakin with three Telegram chat groups on his phone, and that's been used to say that all these chat groups were front organisations for National Action, because there was one or two ex-members of National Action in these chat room groups. And also what it does say is it says that Telegram is not a safe app to use. I know Red Ice have been promoting the idea that Telegram is completely secure and that the Telegram people won't hold up the chat logs to the government. But quite clearly in this instance, the intelligence, the secret police, were able to get into the Telegram chat group and get all the chat logs. Now, these private chat groups, you should never assume that anything is fully secure. Just don't say anything illegal. And a lot of this is people like shitposting. They like making exaggerated posts, trying to wind liberals up. There's lots of jokey talk about gassings and ovens and all this sort of thing. And we know it's not meant to be taken seriously. But when that's read out in a courtroom, it sounds really shocking for the jury who have no experience of this. And the judge is telling the jury that this is all meant to be taken seriously and these people wanted to gas 6 million Jews and it wasn't a joke. It doesn't sound very good. So people should definitely think a little bit more carefully about what they're putting in public. And you should always think that whatever it is you're putting in a private chat room could be seen in public. It could be seen in court. Just be aware of that. When you're on the internet, you are talking in public. It's not like you are talking privately in your own home. It is in public. In these private chat rooms, you can say, well, this was intended for private people to hear. So if we're using racial slurs, we weren't expecting any ethnic minorities to actually see that. So we weren't trying to offend people. I mean, you can make that argument. But if you're in a chat room and you're saying, well, all Negroes should be hanged or all Jews should be gassed, nobody's in a position to do that. And that's obviously a jokey post or just a fantasy, the same as most people would like to see the politicians. They'd like to see them hanged for their crimes. But that can be taken as serious in a court. So maybe people should be thinking twice before making these gassing jokes and oven jokes. Is it really that necessary that we do them? I don't know. I don't do them myself, and I don't really know people that do. Deakin was also convicted of 2 counts of possessing documents useful to someone preparing an act of terrorism, including bomb-making manuals and an instructional book for white extremists, which were found on his laptop. Well, bomb-making manuals is probably that anarchist's cookbook, the same book that's available in Waterstones. And the instructional book for white extremists was Breivik's Manifesto. Breivik's Manifesto can be found all over the internet. It's not banned. What's being used here is the fact that because Alex Deakin was a former member of National Action, that means that if he has the anarchist's cookbook on his computer or Breivik's book, then it will be accused as being documents useful for preparing an act of terrorism because he is was an ex-member of National Action. So people who are ex-members of National Action, they no longer have the rights that the rest of us have to be reading material like that. They run the risk of being accused of having documents preparing for an act of terrorism simply because they were ex-members of National Action. This is what the evidence, all the evidence that's actually been used in this. If the people accused hadn't been accused of being members of National Action, the activities they were getting up to, there's no way that they could have been declared illegal. I mean, it's not illegal to read books. It's just if you're an ex-member of National Action and you read certain books, then you can be accused of possessing documents useful to someone preparing an act of terrorism. Something worth bearing in mind. He was also further convicted of distributing a terrorist publication for sending a document called Ethnic Cleansing Operations to the National Action co-founder Ben Raymond and 2 other contacts. Now that Ben's name has come up in this, some people have suggested, well, why hasn't Ben Raymond been on the stand? Why hasn't Ben Raymond been a witness for the defence to say that National Action was wound up, it doesn't exist anymore? Well, Ben's been under investigation for all this time. If you're under investigation, then you can't actually be a witness. And you've also got if Ben has a solicitor and it's the same solicitor as somebody that's in court, then once again, he can't be put on the stand because it's the same solicitor for both cases. Now, I think the government really don't want Ben Raymond or Alex Davies to take the stand because, you know, they were very careful about what they actually did as National Action. Everything that they did, there were parallels for that the left wing do and they don't get prosecuted for. And even that bad taste joke about Joe Cox, there are parallels for that in the left wing that nothing's ever been done about. And if Ben was to take the stand, then this would all be written into the record of the court's proceedings. Now, I know that he's collected a lot of documents and a lot of information about these court cases. I mean, some of it is showing that the expert, the anti-fascist expert that they've actually used in court, himself has used violent imagery of Nazis being crushed to death. And he is not unbiased. He retweets support for anti-fascist organizations. And yet this is the government's own supposedly unbiased expert in right-wing organizations. And yet he is completely biased. And we'll hear a little bit more about a leftist parallel for the Joe Cox joke later on. It is understood that both Vevelainen and Barrett have since been discharged from the army. The other two arrested soldiers were disciplined but not discharged, although one has since left voluntarily. Now, I dare say that probably Vevelainen and the other guy, Barrett, they were ex-members of National Action. They probably were. And the other two arrested soldiers probably weren't. They were just members of this chat room group. And it's because this chat room group probably existed at the time when National Action were legal and it wasn't shut down because it wasn't a part of National Action. That's why it was still going. But it was risky to be doing this. Definitely risky to be doing this. Anybody that is still in any chat groups that they were in when National Action was going, they should wind those chat room groups up because we don't want anybody else having to be put through this. Well, that was the first trial. That was back in February, that one when Mikko got 8 years. He also had pepper spray. The second trial, which ended in May, saw Deakin and three other men convicted of stirring up racial hatred in relation to the sticker campaign at Aston University. That was Daniel Bogonovich, 27, a warehouse worker and beekeeper from Leicester, Chad Williams Allen, 27, a pre-ban National Action member and welder from West Bromwich. He's the guy that was stabbed in the neck while he was on remand, as well as a man in his early 20s who cannot be identified for legal reasons. And this trial over the stickers, I mean, these stickers didn't even say anything racist. They just said, this is a white zone. This is a white zone. They didn't say white pride. They didn't say, let's get rid of all the ethnic minorities. They just said, this is a white zone. And they were created in response to the signs which were going up in London saying, this is a Sharia zone. No drinking, no alcohol. And these were stickers that were saying, this is a white zone. And what does it mean by a white zone? It means people are civilized. People are honorable. People are noble. There's no reason for ethnic minorities to be frightened or terrified, as they claim at these stickers, at how horrific they are to see a sticker saying this is a white zone. And Britain is a white country. It was built by white people. The whole of Great Britain is a white zone. And of course, also in this trial, you hear the name Daniel Bogonovich, and he's also linked in this most recent trial that we've been covering here over the last few weeks. And also Mikko Vevelainen is accused in this one as well. So it's basically all these people that were in these chat groups. And because there were a couple of members or ex-members of National Action that were members of the group when it was legal, because they were in these chat rooms as well, all these other people have been collateral damage for that. In the third case, that of Thomas Patatas and Bogonovich, that's the one we've recently been covering, three other defendants pleaded guilty to membership of National Action in pre-trial hearings. They were Darren Fletcher, Nathan Pryke, and Joel Wilmore. Wilmore also admitted to possessing terrorist information namely a document called Homemade Molotov Cocktails. And again, if that was a document owned by anybody else and they hadn't actually been accused of being members of National Action, then it wouldn't be classed as terrorist information. Now, these three, I know for a fact that some of them have been got at while they're in prison. They've had serious beatings while they're actually in there and sexual abuse. In actual fact, this trial was supposed to be held a couple of months back and it had to be stopped because one of the accused was in no fit state to actually go to trial. He'd been the victim of such a savage beating. So I would suggest that the reason why these three people here, who as far as I'm aware, none of them were actually members of National Action when it was legal, when it was going, none of them were actual members. And yet these three people have pleaded guilty to it. That's so that they will get a lesser jail sentence. They are looking at the sentence which has been given to Mika Vivalainen of 8 years and Begonovic of 8 years. And they are thinking, well, if we plead guilty, we could be out of here at the end of the trial with the year that we've done on remand, because they're probably going to only get 10% of the sentence that the others have. But of course, when they do that, it's very selfish of them to do that, because it means that they've confessed to something, and it means that all the others are going to have to go along with that and lie and go along with that as well. Otherwise, they're going to get a sentence for being guilty. One of the things with this also is that Garen Helm was found innocent of being a member of National Action, even though he was accused of it. That wasn't allowed to be entered into the evidence here, saying, well, look, one of your key figures was actually not a member of it. But the evidence that these key figures have actually confessed, that's been allowed to be entered into the evidence. So when people are found innocent, that's not allowed to be entered. But when people plead guilty, that is allowed to be entered. That doesn't seem very fair to me. Thomas was also convicted of possessing a bomb-making manual, and he was the only one to give evidence. Now, I thought he did very well giving evidence from what I read in the papers. And what came across to me was that this was a very confused young man. This was a fantasist. He went from being a nationalist to wanting to be a Jew, to going out to Israel, to studying to be a Jew, to coming back to Britain, to becoming a nationalist again, being a part of National Action. He had Asperger's, he was autistic. This is somebody that's fantasizing about these things, really, and is also very confused. Not somebody that is any threat to the general public, I wouldn't have thought. So it's somebody that needed help more than anything else. And another one of these is Darren Fletcher, that pleaded guilty. He's another one who's autistic with Asperger's. He's got one of these conditions where he's very rude to people, which is one of the reasons why he's probably been savagely beaten while inside. And he also got the fact that their parents, they've got children as well. They've been accused of making preparations for a race war, and yet the couple in this, Patatas and Thomas, they've just given birth to a baby. And how is Claudia Patatas supposed to be carrying out a terrorist race war when she's got to give the baby? She's got to feed the baby every few hours. And it's not physically possible. And yet the jury still found them guilty of this. Thomas, the former Amazon security guard, admitted being a racist and told jurors he had been exposed to such beliefs from a very young age, adding that his stepfather was in a white power band and had started shaving Thomas's head at the age of 5. Thomas told jurors that aged 18, he went to Israel and started converting to Judaism because it would have allowed him to join the Israeli military. Yeah, this shows you that this guy is confused. He's been brought up to be a nationalist, and yet he goes off to join the Israeli military once he becomes a teenager. It is understood that after he returned, he told people in far-right circles that his time in Israel related to an involvement with the white supremacist Christian Identity Movement. Now, I think I heard something about this. Somebody asked me about this and said something about it. And Christian Identity has nothing whatsoever to do with the country that calls itself Israel. Christian Identity is about the Israelite people, not the Israel country. Nobody in Christian Identity has any interest in going out to Palestine or Canaan or Israel or whatever it is you want to call it. I mean, that was the place where Jesus was crucified. Why would any of us want to go there? So he's very suspicious that he actually said that he went out to Israel because he was involved in Christian Identity. I mean, anybody that actually knows Christian Identity would have found that very suspicious. It was around this time that he got to know Patatas through National Action chat groups. Now, again, they're saying National Action chat groups. We don't know whether they were or whether they were just nationalist chat groups that had some National Action people in them. They met for the first time at a pub social in December 2016 and soon moved in together. Now, that was at the time when National Action was banned. And this was actually one of their defences, was that they actually hadn't had anything to do with National Action for quite some while. And if you think that he was in Israel studying to be a Jew, that was right the way through 2016. And then he came back and met Claudia Patatas just at the time that the organisation was being banned. On January the 3rd, 2018, so that's about a year later, they were arrested. And their liking for dressing up was discovered and used to smear them throughout the trial. And the child, I believe, had only just been born. So they must have got together and, you know, she must have got pregnant within a few months of National Action being banned. I mean, they're going to be busy with preparing for the birth of a child, not getting involved in any activism. And in actual fact, all they've got is, well, there's just people meeting up in a chat room and making jokes. All three of them have been convicted of belonging to the banned neo-Nazi group National Action. Adam Thomas, 22, and his partner Claudia Patatas, 38, were found guilty, along with Daniel Begonovich, 27, of being members of the far-right group, which was proscribed under anti-terror laws after it celebrated the murder of Labour MP Joe Cox. And that brings us up to Ben's bad taste joke, saying one politician down, only a certain amount more to go. But that is nowhere near as bad as Jeremy Corbyn's behaviour after the Brighton bomb killed a Tory MP and four others. You think about this. National Action were banned because of sending a tweet after Joe Cox was killed. But just have a listen to this. What happened after a Tory MP and four others were killed? And this is quoting from the Spectator website. 2 weeks after a Tory MP and four others were murdered in the Brighton bombing, Jeremy Corbyn invited two convicted IRA terrorists to Parliament. 2 years later, Corbyn was arrested at a solidarity demo for Patrick McGee and other IRA members outside their trial at the Old Bailey. By this point, the court had already heard that McGee's palm prints were found on the registration card for the hotel room in which the bomb was planted, and his fingerprints on a bombing calendar listing further atrocities to be carried out in the year after Brighton. Corbyn was arrested for obstruction at the demo and spent a few hours down the local cop shop. He later wrote a note to the protest organiser on House of Commons headed notepaper saying, "Thanks for your help. Hope you get out as I did. All the best, Jeremy." Labour MPs evidently do not grasp the significance of this behaviour, for they continue to sit behind this man and campaign to make him Prime Minister. And so I ask myself, what if, 2 weeks after Joe Cox was murdered, a backbench Tory invited members of National Action to Parliament? What if, while her murderer Thomas Mayer was in court declaring death to traitors, that same Tory MP was outside at a solidarity vigil? What if that Tory MP had been willing to get himself arrested for the pleasure? And what if he had written a cheery note to the organiser of the demo? And I'll just point out there, Thomas Mayer was not actually a member of National Action. He had nothing whatsoever to do with National Action. They just sort of tacked that onto this because of the rather unfortunate National Action tweet. But they've also linked somebody called Zach Davies to National Action. They're trying to claim that Zach Davies was a member of National Action who killed an ethnic minority in a supermarket. It was actually said by the police, well, actually, no, he wasn't a member of National Action, but that hasn't stopped the BBC and other news organisations from reporting it as if he was. Now, this Zach Davies, he made a YouTube with himself in front of a National Action flag, but then the following week he made a YouTube of himself in front of an ISIS flag. And then after that he went out and murdered this ethnic minority in a supermarket. The guy was obviously quite mad. He wasn't a member of National Action. He had just bought one of their flags, which were for sale, the same as he bought an ISIS flag. So you can't really say what his ideology was in killing a dentist. I think he just wanted to kill somebody. He looks pretty mad, but he was never a member of National Action. He was never charged with being a member of National Action. And yet that is used to smear the organisation, along with this Thomas Mayer as well, who has nothing to do with it. But it's interesting that Jeremy Corbyn, you know, appears to back the people that did this. Nothing said about that. And just because there was a bad taste joke made about the killing of Joe Cox, that was used to ban National Action and jail countless young people and accuse them of being terrorists. Now, we don't know what sentences these people are going to get. Judging by the other sentences, we can make a guess and say possibly 6 to 8 years. Maybe Claudia Patatas will get 2 years. I mean, that's the worst one of the lot. I mean, this woman has just given birth. She 38 years old? I mean, that must have been a wonderful gift to her to be able to have a child late in life. And now the child is going to be taken away from her and she's going to be sent into prison for 2 years and not see her husband just for making jokes in a chat room. Now, the effects of this making this nationalist activist group into terrorists has destroyed so many lives. Just this designation, this changing of them from being an activist group to being terrorists has just wreaked havoc across so many young people's lives. It's tragic what's happened to them. When you think these people were never accused of any violent crimes whatsoever, all they've got is, well, nothing really. I mean, all they've got is surrounding evidence. They collected knives. Oh, they used bow and arrows. Oh, they dressed up as the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, they like to say racist things in chat rooms. They went to a gym where they were training. That's all they have. They don't have any plans for activism. They don't have any plans for any violent activities. All they've got is young people continuing to have contact with other young people and doing normal young people's pursuits. And just because a couple of these young people were ex-members of National Action, that's been used to say that they all are. I think we're going to find out what the sentences are in a couple of weeks. We have got the addresses for people to write to these prisoners of war. You can find them at our Write to the Prisoners of War section in the sidebar at radioarian.com. And obviously we will also have Claudia's address as well once she gets sent to prison. And it will also be interesting to find out what the lads that pleaded guilty, what their sentences are. Because there is word on the grapevine that one of them thinks that he made some kind of deal. And we don't actually have plea deals in Britain, but it does seem to me as if they were offered a substantial reduction in sentence if they were to plead guilty to this, which would mean that obviously that it really didn't matter what evidence the others put in, because the judge is going to accept it that, oh, well, it did go on because these guys have pled guilty. That's the tragic thing about this. But we'll have to see what happens. Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time. It's about time we had a music break for now. This is Arland Bran, who we haven't heard anything from a long time. I wish he would write some new music, because I think he's a particularly good British neo-folk artist. And this is a song of his called Germanic Britain. Arland Bran, and you can find him on SoundCloud. And if you happen to know him, poke him with a stick and say, "Oi, make some more new music," because that is really good tunes. He's a really good musician, a really good creator. Lots of variety on his SoundCloud page, and we haven't heard anything from him for a long time. I'm actually worried that the guy is okay, because we haven't heard anything from him for so long. Anyway, I did say we'd actually have a look at Birmingham, which is where these trials have been taking place. And you think that the government has spent all this money on jailing three people, essentially because they like to dress up and because they may have been members of National Action when it was going, and they liked to say racist things in chat room groups. They've spent an absolute fortune on taking them to court for that. While in Birmingham itself, it's undergoing the same sort of crime wave that's happening in London, and the police are just not able to do anything at all about it. I mean, the latest statistics on police.uk mapped a staggering total of 1,094 crimes just in the city centre alone last month. That's around 36 crimes per day just within the city's main leisure area. And a lot of it was violence and sexual offences. 293 out of those crimes were violence and sexual offences. So it's 25% of them. They were all happening in one particular place, Broad Street near Sheepcote Street, Hurst Street and Temple Row. And a total of 18 violent or sexual offences actually happened near to Birmingham Magistrates Court and Birmingham Children's Hospital. And they're also facing a rising tide of crime on Birmingham streets. They've had five brutal carjackings in just 1 week. Two happened outside city supermarkets and a third at a petrol station. The victim of a fourth was smashed over the head with a hammer. And in the latest attack, a man was stabbed in an attempted carjacking in Birmingham's student heartland. And all the pictures that have been released of that show that the carjackers were black. I mean, Birmingham is, I believe they say that it's going to be majority non-white by 2020, if it isn't majority non-white already. And they're wasting their time taking activists to court and accusing them of being terrorists. While all this violence is going on, there is a group of people that are getting together to become vigilantes. Now, this is something that Max Musson brought up a month or so back. And I asked him where he thought all this was heading. And he said, well, what I can see happening is that there will be vigilante groups of citizens doing the job of the police, the jobs that the police should be doing. Now that only 5% of crimes are being solved by the police, who is going to deal with that other 95%? What about the white people that are now too frightened to go out? What about in places like Bristol, where the children are too frightened to go out because it's children that have been robbed and mugged? On the Daily Nationalist the other day, I talked about what was happening in Ireland, where children were being mugged and robbed by a gang of 100 Africans that were attacking children. People are going to get together to try and do something about this. And this has already been happening with the pedophile hunters. And we've got citizens that are trying to entrap pedophiles, and then they're giving the information to the police, and the police are then arresting them. Now, years ago, if anything like that happened, the police wouldn't have had anything to do with it. They would have put a stop to it. But now the police are having to work with these vigilante groups because they don't have the resources to deal with the massive amount of crime that's come about through the importation into our country of all these third world criminals. That's what it's down to. That's what the increase in crime is down to. Now, in Birmingham, a vigilante mob made up of families frustrated with apparent police inaction has had its ranks bolstered by more than 1,000 new members in just 24 hours. This was reported last week when there was only 400 people in this group, and it's now increased up to 1,500. Created on social media just 3 weeks ago, We Stand Determined is a group that patrols the streets of Birmingham day and night to record and report any criminal offences that take place. Initially 400 strong, the group has seen its numbers swell to 1,500 after it attracted national headlines. And it's interesting that this is being portrayed in a positive light, but when we had the Soldiers of Odin in Finland and in Sweden, that again were a group of concerned citizens that were going out to reassure white women that they weren't going to be attacked by Muslims, that was attacked in the media. That was attacked as being absolutely dreadful, that white people were getting together to defend white people. Now, in this instance, there's nothing racial has been specified in this, but they are soon going to discover that 95% of all the crime that they see happening or that they hear happening is down to non-whites. So I wouldn't put it past some non-whites to actually join this group, because I bet it's 95% white at least at the moment. The non-whites have their own way of dealing with these sort of things. They have their own groups. I mean, you just look at the Jews. They have their own Shomrin. They have their own official police force. The Jews do. We don't. We have to have a multicultural vigilante group. Organisers Wayne, Tracy and Michael created the group after discovering a friend had been attacked in his home in Birmingham by thieves armed with hammers. Imagine that. You're just sitting there at home, watching the television, and suddenly there's a home invasion, and you're surrounded by thugs with hammers, demanding you hand whatever you've got over. This is the Britain that we're living in today. I mean, there are videos of police being attacked by non-whites in Birmingham. There's a video of a policeman on the floor with his helmet and just a gang of non-whites kicking the hell out of him. That's available online. There are films of the police just being attacked. And there are areas in Birmingham that the police just won't go now. Lots of no-go zones that are just controlled by these gangs. It's getting as bad as Malmo. And you're attacking people with hammers. I mean, these are savages. And they're probably only doing this just to collect a few quid. And forget, in London, that we reported on last week, the 98-year-old man, the veteran, that it was beaten to a bloody pulp within his own home, just so that the thieves could steal his television set. Life is so cheap, especially if it's white life. It's incredibly cheap in white countries. Wayne, 47, a college lecturer from Solihull, has never revealed his real surname for fear of retribution from criminals. He now says that he is blown away by the popularity of the group. We didn't expect to get such a huge response, but it just goes to show that we're not the only people that feel the need to come together and take care of our community. Does he mean that it's the white community there? We have the Muslim community, we have the black community, we have the gay community. So what community is he specifically referring to there? We've had members join from all over the world: Germany, Australia, China, America, and the British Virgin Islands. Interesting that he doesn't say he's had any members join from Ethiopia, or the Congo, or Pakistan, or Afghanistan, or Saudi Arabia, or any of the other non-white countries. He says they've had people join from China, but I suspect it's not that many. I mean, they're all specifically white countries, civilized countries, that he's talked about there, that have members that are joining. And they are going to get red-pilled by this. They really will be red-pilled by the amount of crime that is carried out by these non-whites, if they're not already, just by the people that are joining, the fact that none of them are non-white or black. They say, "We want to thank everyone for supporting us, and we hope to continue to make a difference within our community and others alike. The way our group started and the reaction we have had has showed us how much local communities need groups like us to fill in the gaps that the authorities simply don't have the funding for." I don't believe it is a case of funding. What it is a case of too many non-whites. Too many non-whites who are prone to commit violent crimes living in our country now. It's no coincidence that the areas with the most crime are the areas with the most non-whites in them. And the areas that have the least crime are the areas that are the most white. And we pointed this out the other day in one of the programs here at Radio Arium. In Iceland, there wasn't even any murders in 1 year. And then when you look at a place like Cape Town in South Africa, there are hundreds of murders every week. 150 stabbings at the weekend. And yet not one person murdered in Iceland in, I think the year was 2008. There is a racial component to this, and it cannot be avoided. And calling people racist for pointing it out is just going to deflect attention from the truth about it and mean that a response to it is delayed until it's too late. And we have whole cities that are no-go zones, and the police have to give way to the army. That's what's going to happen. Either that or these vigilante groups will turn into proper security organisations that are funded by the government. The government may put aside some money for private security, private citizen security, because that would be cheaper than employing police. But the cheapest way of all to deal with this is to just deport these criminals if they're non-white. Deport them, send them back to where they come from. A waste of money having to keep investigating these crimes that they carry out, never mind the damage that's caused by them. He says, at first, the group attempted to get more police officers into the area through petitioning local authorities. But when that failed, the group decided to take action themselves, becoming another of a rising trend of community action groups hoping to fight back against criminals. They insist the group is non-violent and seek to work in partnership with the police, not against it, but think crime in the UK is getting out of hand and they want to act as a new line of defence for the community. How are they going to fight back against criminals if they are non-violent? And all they're really going to work as, I think, is help for reporting crimes to the police, and the police just won't investigate the crimes because they've just got too many. This is just going to provide more crimes for the police to investigate. They're not actually going to help them to investigate them. Wayne continues, there has been a recent spate of crime in Birmingham recently, and Solihull in particular has fallen victim to an increase of just under 1,500 more cases so far this year. People needed someone to turn to, someone who will listen and visit them in their home if a constituent is fearful for their own safety. We are vigilantes, but we are vigilantes with a twist, working within the law and not against it. Our group is a central place for the local community to come together to log crimes, comment, and help stop crime in the area. If you think there's an increase of 1,500 this year, that could be an increase of 3,000 next year, 6,000 the year after that. The more our nation turns brown, the more crime there will be. And they are fighting a losing battle. The police are fighting a losing battle against it. They're told that they cannot racially profile non-whites, which in a lot of cases means that they're not even allowed to give out the correct description of the offender. Recently, Birmingham has been blighted by a wave of stabbings, shootings, and murders. And as I say, any time that you can actually see who is responsible for this, they're always non-white. They do their best to cover it up, but sometimes they have to say, because the victim will say when the victim gives a description to the newspaper. Also playing in the city are Corsa cannibals, known for stripping down Vauxhall Corsas to sell the parts on. Tracy said, "We Stand Determined is not against West Midlands Police, as they understand the force can only do what they can with the funding that they are given. But the group say this doesn't solve the problem of reduced bobbies on the beat, so they were forced to do it themselves. They are not the first group to take matters into their own hands. Self-made superheroes began patrolling the streets as Liverpool's own version of the Justice League earlier this year. While Superman and co. used their unique skills to keep the streets safe, Night Warrior, Templar, Black Mercer and Radical are armed with only their eyes and ears and the desire to help out. The group was formed over similar fears and also carry out community work to help people feel safer. Groups of self-styled pedophile hunters have also been snaring offenders and handing them to police as ordinary citizens are taking the law into their own hands. However, all groups say they want to work with officers. Tracy, 48, said, "We stress to our members that if they see something, they should notify the police first. We would like to join up with the police, but we want to be able to make our own decisions on where the help is really needed and not where the police tell us to be." Wayne added, "We hope to gather funding to support our future objectives. At the moment, we are totally self-funded." A spokesman for West Midlands Police said officers were aware of multiple groups, but advised members to join police-approved street watch programs instead. Well, obviously, the street watch programs aren't succeeding in preventing crime. And why didn't they mention the soldiers of Odin in this? I mean, nationalist groups have been calling for this for quite some time now and been talking about that we need protection on our streets. If they are going to allow this group to protect the community in Birmingham, how about we have a nationalist organisation that does the same? What about British Movement? What about UKIP? What about Britain First? How about they form their own group that is going to protect white people on the streets? Maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is an implicitly white group. It does sound like it when they say the people that have actually joined. They have probably made it open, obviously, to anyone that can join. But it does look as if it's only white people that have joined it. Obviously, we'll have to find out more about that as we hear more about this story as it progresses during the year, because I'm sure this is what we're going to be seeing more of. We're going to be seeing more of these organisations forming to protect the British people from the invasion. And these groups will evolve into private security services, private security firms. Maybe they will actually get funding from the government. Who knows? They are fighting a losing battle. Unless they turn back the tide and send back the non-whites that are causing all of this, it's just going to increase year on year as the non-whites reproduce themselves at the rate which they are famous for reproducing at the rate, reproduce like rats or like rabbits, 8 or 9 of them in a family, whereas white people are only producing 1.2 people in a family. I mean, just the numbers themselves tell us that we're not going to be able to cope within 10 years if something isn't done about it right now. And these are good people. Obviously, they're white people that are doing this, because you wouldn't hear of blacks or non-whites talking about a vigilante group to protect the police. They have no interest in doing that to protect their community. They have their own ways of doing it. They're the ones that are robbing and drug dealing and pimping and harming the community. Obviously, Asians, Chinese, they don't commit that many crimes. And obviously that's borne out here with the only non-white group to actually join this vigilante group are Chinese. Anyway, as I say, we'll keep following this story and bring you more on it as we hear more. That brings us to the end of the podcast. Please do remember that we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet, which is at the bottom of every podcast article, and you'll also find it on the sidebar there at the radioaryan.com site. And also, don't forget to write to our prisoners of war. We do have a link in the sidebar, which will take you to a page full of addresses of unfortunate nationalists that are in prison for speaking up for white people. You don't have to have known them before. Just send them a letter. It means so much to them when they're inside to receive a letter, but particularly from somebody they've never met before that sympathises with the position that they're in. So if you can't afford to send us a donation via Bitcoin, then go out and buy a stamp and send a letter to one of these poor nationalists that have had their freedom taken away. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back next week with more Aryan Britannia for you, and of course I do hope you have a great week ahead of you.
Listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.